tonight, really excited. We've just started a new reading plan. For the last couple of months, if you've been around, we've been looking at some Old Testament characters who lived lives of devotion to Jesus, and so encouraging. Guys like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and women like Esther, who Madeline was sharing about last week, living a life of risky wisdom and a move from conventional to risky wisdom. If you didn't hear, you can get those messages on the link through the app. So so that's cool. Tonight, we want to just take a bit of a shift back and read through a gospel for the next month. And I'm really excited about that because I love the opportunity to see Jesus. You know, Jesus, when we talk about following Jesus, you know, you can view that as he's a historical character. We can learn a few things, some principles out of his life. That's one way to view it. It's probably not actually the way that Christianity explains our relationship or how we follow Jesus. Actually, Christianity says that if you decide to follow Jesus, then he comes and makes his home in your life and he reveals and empowers the life that he calls us to live. So, you know, you can look and read the gospel as a story of one person who is wholly devoted. What a life looks like if it's wholly devoted to God and if the Holy Spirit has its way to lead that person in perfection, that's also the life of Jesus. So we can read and we can learn about who he is and have our mind transformed, but the Holy Spirit can also be directing our steps and bringing, you know, to life what we read and shaping us so that increasingly our life looks more and more like Jesus. I mean, that's what following Jesus is all about. And he empowers that. It's not just like we have to set our mind to it and try and make it all happen. And so tonight I really just want to share something that's been on my heart for a good month or more now about the character of Jesus and his nature to bring freedom to us, and not just at a point in time, but ever increasing freedom. That's the nature and character of Jesus. And I just want to share really one little story of one guy who met with Jesus and the interaction that they had and what it tells us of the character of God and the invitation we really have to meet with Jesus in the same way. So, okay, I'm just going to say a quick word of prayer and then I'll share about that. Jesus, yeah, we just thank you. Thank you that here in some random shed out in Kabbalah, you're present. You know what's going on. You have a plan and a purpose. You know each of us by name. You love us and you have something far more for us than perhaps we even realize for ourselves. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you that you can reveal something to us tonight that will shape and change us to be more like you. And we invite you now. God, would you do that? Would you have your way? Yeah. Amen. Okay, so the story I want to tell is about a guy by the name of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, because he was blind, but then after he met Jesus, he could see. So I don't know whether he had an identity crisis because his name changed or what, but he went from blind Bartimaeus, I guess, to seeing Bartimaeus in the course of this event. And I'm just going to tell you the story because it's pretty simple. You can find it in Mark 10. I think it kicks in about verse 46. And it occurs in Jesus' life and ministry when he's at the peak of his popularity. And he was wildly popular, actually. He'd turn up in cities and towns and cause a total uproar. People would follow him from one side of the country to the other for all sorts of reasons. He healed people, and that was incredible. He taught in a way that no one had taught before. He revealed truth that no one had come to understand before. He was controversial, so everyone likes a bit of a fight, especially when it's between authority figures. So he caused a stir when he'd turn up. And I'm sure people liked that and came to check out the spectacle. People followed him for a whole multitude of reasons. But one thing's for sure. This day he left the city, and it was called Jericho, and he's walking out the road. And there is a big crowd of people following with him, and there is a guy who spent his life sitting beside the road on the way out of Jericho, begging for money because he's blind. His name is Bartimaeus. And I don't know if you've ever, if you can relate in any way to what it's like to be a beggar. The closest I can come is when I was a university student. not because, you know, I purposely chose to go hitchhiking. Just for fun, I thought it'd be a bit of adventure. But one thing about hitchhiking is you stand on the side of the road and you stick your thumb out and you beg for people to take you places that they have no reason to take you to. They got no reason to stop. I got nothing to offer you, and I'm just throwing myself out there on the goodness of humanity to catch a ride. And one thing I'd always do, I'd always stand, face the traffic, and try and get people's gaze so they could see I'm a fine, reputable young man. and I'm not trying to steal something or kill them. I hope but they'd always glance away, or most of them would glance away, like, oh, I don't want to look at him. or they'd kind of do these ones. They're like, which I'm not sure what that's supposed to convey, except, I don't know, I can't pick you up. Sucks to be you. but it's the closest I've come to begging, and actually really enjoyed the experience. I hitchhiked in heaps of different countries. I used to do it just for fun, really, not because I had no choice. But it was actually incredible to see what goodness did come through humanity in that way. It was the closest I ever came to begging, and it's a pathetic, really, example for what this guy would have experienced, because not only did he have an obvious physical impairment, he was blind, but in the society, in the situation he was in, he was poverty-stricken because of it. And his only way of surviving was to beg on the side of the road from the goodness of people's hearts. And people didn't even necessarily have that much mercy on him, because it was common belief in the time and place where he was that your blindness may well be the result of the fact that you sinned or that your parents sinned. So they didn't even necessarily have mercy on this guy. He was the bottom of the rung. But he hears a big crowd coming along, and he, I guess, asks someone, what's going on? What's the crowd? And he hears that Jesus is coming along. And so he starts to call out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And there's a big crowd, I guess. So he starts calling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he keeps calling out, and the people around, he's making a bit of a scene, and the blind, poverty-stricken guy, just shut up, just be quiet, you know. Actually started rebuking or correcting him. Don't yell out. Don't be so impertinent. And they're quietening him down. And every time they're trying to quieten him down, he just yells even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he yells and he yells and he yells until Jesus stops what he's doing and evidently calls out to him. He was far enough away in the crowd that he had to send a message to the guy. And they say, cheer up. Jesus is calling you. Now everyone's happy. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, Jesus is calling this guy, so we better be happy. Yeah, come on, mate. Yeah, go. I'm going to lead you over there. And you can just imagine, can't you, like the crowd kind of parting in the way, and at one end of the crowd there's this blind beggar man, and at the other end of the crowd there's Jesus. And the crowd parts, and I don't know if he's got a stick or someone takes him by the hand. He makes his way to Jesus. He comes face to face with this Messiah who he's been calling out to. And it's a short and interesting interaction. You know, Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? He says, Rabbi, or teacher, I want to see. And Jesus says, go on your way. Your faith has healed you. And instantly it says, his eyes are opened and the crowd starts to move off and he starts to move off following straight after Jesus. Two guys, and I want to just, really tonight, simple message, just want to reflect a few thoughts on this man and his interaction with Jesus. I guess the first thing was, he didn't stop until he came face to face with Jesus. And isn't it interesting, you know, we can have needs and we can take them a lot of places. And we can listen to a lot of voices. People around us, hey, what do you think? What do you think I should do? I don't know, okay, well, that's a good idea, but I'll go over here and ask, what do you think I should do? And these guys, all he heard was, be quiet. bury your needs. And he had something in him that pushed a little bit beyond that. He heard that Jesus was coming. He wasn't going to miss his one chance to get face to face with Jesus. I think that's the first point, you know. Freedom comes face to face with Jesus. If you've got something that you need, something that is insurmountable in your situation, the only place you're going to find freedom of that is face to face with Jesus. And it's an invitation he freely offers. The second thing, just in reflection on that story, is that when he comes face to face with Jesus, you know, his situation is pretty obvious. He's poverty stricken. He's blind. Jesus knows everything. Why didn't Jesus just go, "Oh man, you're in a difficult situation. Now let me give you some help. I'm going to heal you and restore you." But he doesn't. Jesus asks him a question. "What do you want me to do for you?" And that question, I think, is interesting in raising this guy's dignity. Jesus doesn't come and impose his solution on this guy's life. He actually invites the guy to bring forward his need. And then he says, "Go on your way. Your faith has healed you," after he presents his request. And I think, as if to emphasize the freedom that you meet when you get face to face with Jesus, is Jesus' response, "Go on your way. You're free. You're free, man, to go. I'm going to heal you. And then I'm going to say, do whatever you want." So maybe it's not so surprising that, you know, Jesus asks a question, they have a little interaction. Okay, you want to be healed. Well, that's pretty obvious. The next thing is maybe not so obvious. You get what you need. What do you do next? Well, the guy's had his whole life been, you know, stripped away by this impairment. He's never seen before. Maybe he wants to see his family. Maybe he wants to go and start restoring all the things that have been lost from him. Maybe he wants to get a job. Maybe he wants to restore his social status. See, Jesus has healed me. He wants to get out and do all that stuff. But when he's been given the opportunity for freedom, Jesus says, "Go on your way." He says, "My way is to follow you. That's what I want to do. That's the desire of my heart." And that's the kind of freedom that we find when we get face to face with Jesus. I don't know what you know, naturally or you think would happen if you came face to face with Jesus. What would he say? What would you say? It's a kind of penetrating question. Oh, I might not just get to hang out. He actually might ask me a direct question. Whoa. He might. Every time it's an invitation, not another obligation. Jesus invites the guy to present his request, and he gives him the invitation again, the freedom, if you like, to go and respond in the way that his heart sees is fit. You know, that's what you meet when you meet Jesus. We sing songs. Hey, freedom's a catchy sort of thing we like to talk about as Christians. Sing songs about it. I'm free to run. I'm free to dance or to exercise my right not to dance. I'm free to live for you. It's great. You know, the first freedom that we get when we meet Jesus is like a status change. This is in Colossians 1, that he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, the dominion of darkness, the rule of darkness and chaos, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have a status change. You can update your Facebook. I've changed from dominion of darkness to kingdom of light, and a place where I'm loved, where I'm accepted, where I have a father who brings me into relationship with him, a loving father. That's the change that Jesus brings about. That's the freedom that he brings about. Freedom from the curse of sin and all the wrong that we've done that stood as a barrier between us and God that we celebrate in communion is busted away. Freedom from judgment, freedom from condemnation. The list can just go on and on and on. They're all status things that are true of you, no matter if you came to know Jesus last week or you make a decision to follow him tonight, or if that happened 50 years ago, those things changed dramatically the moment you decided to follow Jesus. It's a status change, freedom. And there's a, I guess, a temptation probably to kind of stop at that and just keep singing songs forevermore about how good it was back when. But here's the thing. Freedom is not just our status. It's intended to be our experience. And in that, we have a whole new opportunity to experience more freedom. And what I mean is, you know, I asked Evie, what does it mean to be free? And it's kind of such a broad question, you know. You almost need the power of contrast to know how to answer it. And so she says, well, it means not to be in jail. Power of contrast. She's got it straight up. And so Madeline asked her, well, what if you were let out of jail? If the door was open, would you be free or not? And she thought about it for a little bit and she said, yeah, you'd be free. But here's the thing. What if you stayed sitting right in the middle of the prison door? They come along and they say, here, the door's unlocked. Your status would change to being a free person. But your experience, well, that depends on whether you actually take up the freedom or not, doesn't it? If you sit there in that cell and there's no windows, then you're not going to experience seeing the sunrise or not the next day. It takes you actually stepping into the experience of freedom to start living that out. And that's why that message, while it's true for us and great for us to sing and reflect on all the great things Jesus has done, there's also another invitation in that for us, an invitation to meet face-to-face with Jesus and to find a greater measure of freedom, to, if you like, to establish freedom in our life and to maintain it once it's established. Because it's not like just a static thing, a status change and then it's all good, we move on. There's 100 reasons why it's beneficial for you not to be free. For a start, someone makes profit out of a slave. Someone has benefit out of you not being free. And that is exhibited in 100 different ways. You know, I had a boss and he used to say, if he heard whisper around the office that someone had just bought a house and taken a mortgage, he'd be like, rub his hands together. He's like, yes, that's awesome. Because, and he'd say it straight out. He's like, now I know you're not free. You're bound to that mortgage and in some way you're bound to this workplace. And that's great for me because I've got a much greater chance that you're going to stick around. And in his own way, he would leverage that to his own advantage. See, there's a benefit in a person being a slave. You know, you would have heard, I'm sure, you've probably seen the odd movie here and there about the story of slavery in America. It caused civil wars and a huge deal, but for 200 years, that country really built a lot of its prosperity on the back of slaves. And in 1865, finally, they abolished it. And in that one day, the status of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe even millions, changed from being slave to free in one swoop. But, you know, I was reading this account from this woman, and she was talking about what the experience of slavery was for her in the Deep South. And she was saying, you know, we got passed from family to family. We had to work in the house. We had to milk the cows. We had to pick cotton. That was our experience. We never got a dime. We were constantly under the threat of being whipped or even killed. And then, you know, you read further on in the article and it says, this woman, she's alive. She grew up in the 1960s experiencing that in the South of America. She worked all her life. She never got paid a dollar. She's under the fear of death. Can you believe it? 95 years after she was liberated, her people were liberated, she lived the experience of a slave. 3 generations later, people still hadn't heard or reached or grasped the message and taken that step out of a prison cell and into genuine freedom. And there's some opportunity or invitation to us in all of that. Not like another, you know, lesson to be like, oh man, heck, this is terrible. But an offer to get face to face with Jesus again and find a greater measure of freedom in your life. The invitation is right there for us. And I think tonight, you know, the most, as you read through Mark, you'll see, I mentioned before, Jesus is kind of controversial. The biggest controversy he caused was, and conflict, was between him and the religious leaders of the time. And a lot of it was over to do with the relationship of the religious laws and rules and the people of the time. In fact, the first time they decide they actually want to kill this guy, it's because he does good. He heals a person on a Sunday. That's a pretty wild thing to do. Well, they thought it was a pretty wild thing to do. It shook their establishment because to them, one of their rules and regulations was that doing no work on the Sunday, on the Sabbath, was an absolute priority. And they had a whole list of rules that explained for you in intricate detail what that meant. You couldn't go this far. You couldn't pick up something heavier than this. It's like workplace health and safety. This guy's the original. They listed out what it was to do or not do. And Jesus came in and he turned it on its head and he said, don't you know, like the Sabbath or a Sunday or a day of rest, you know, man wasn't given for that. It was given for man. Like, people are not below those rules and regulations of the Sabbath. People are above them and they support the freedom that I wished for humanity to take up. See, having a day of rest, which I think is a great idea, by the way, is a freedom against working all the time and relying so heavily on, you know, whether I can do another hour and make another dollar to support my life. It gives us a chance as a society to actually stop and rest. It was a freedom given to humanity against the tyranny of working all the time. And it had somehow got the order reversed. And Jesus came in and he started to shake that up. And, you know, it's all too easy. We want to follow Jesus and we want to experience authentic community and we want to be purposeful in reaching out and sharing this message with other people for it somehow to become almost like a duty, you know, like, oh, I have to follow Jesus because of this and that and the other. And I think that message is for us tonight, that no, we're free to follow. We're given an invitation, and it's the same invitation that goes out every day. In fact, every day you can choose to follow Jesus or not. That's the dignity that he gives to people, to humanity. It's the dignity that he gave to Bartimaeus. But the freedom that you have to choose has a consequence. It's like an honor. It's weighty, if you like. And your choices that you make in response to freedom will lead either to more freedom or away from freedom. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, this is a sign of my bygone youth. If I have a free choice to light this up and smoke it and take another one every hour, free choice. I want to have a cigarette, and I choose to do that every day. Next week, next month, for next year. You might turn up, you probably think I've gone a bit crazy. But you might turn up and say, oh, Steve, you know, that's not a free choice, but you could have a hard time convincing me of that because I'm choosing to do it. I want to do it. I like it for whatever reason. But the thing is, that free choice is not leading to more freedom, is it? It's leading away from freedom. And it's not exposed until the question comes, well, are you free to stop? Oh, well, then everything changes. Like, oh, if I really want to stop, I've been smoking a cigarette an hour every day for the last year, I'm going to have a hard time about it. The dignity we're given in a freedom to choose is a step that we can take in multiple directions. Some will lead to more freedom and some won't. Some will lead to less. And Bartimaeus, I think, has it right. He chooses in his freedom to follow after Jesus. He gets face to face, and that's the choice he makes. And it's a choice that leads into greater and greater freedom. It's a choice that I think Jesus offers to us. And, you know, just been, I guess, reflecting on this even personally in the last couple of weeks. Some of you will know about 3 or 4 months ago, we'd been praying for a long time, felt that it's time to transition out of my job. So I left my job. I didn't take up another job. I felt like God was leading us to start a business. And that was exciting, and it's exciting because it felt like God was leading us into more freedom, actually. And that was one of the things I was really excited about. And it was great. It was great for a month or two. But I did have one interesting conversation with a guy, and he just looked at me straight in the face and says, "You're kidding yourself. Like, you think this is going to lead to more freedom? You're going to be like so burdened by this." And he really took me to task, actually, about whether this move would liberate me or actually leave me more bound up. And he had good reason to say so. Working for yourself is not like a golden ticket, and you have every opportunity to do what you want. And increasingly, my experience started more to line up with his. I'm like, you know, checking emails, and I'm like emailing everyone I can to try and get work, because it's a bit nerve-wracking going for a few months without any income. Especially, that was not an experience I'd ever had before. So we took out this step in faith, and then all of a sudden we're like, ah! Internally, this increasing fear and concern about how on earth we're going to provide for ourselves. And we've got bills to pay and all that sort of stuff. And maybe it's like Peter, you know, he steps out on the water, this great step of faith, and then he starts sinking really quick. Started sinking really, really quick, took our eyes off Jesus. And I kind of came face to face with it. We had a holiday 5 or 6 weeks ago now. And I'm in these cool places, like we're in Greece and, you know, these wonders of the ancient world. And I'm checking emails to people about, you know, jobs and stuff like this. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm really not free. I'm not experiencing. And I started to remember back, hey, is this really what God called us into? And I realized how far my goals and expectations were shifting towards, you know, making a whole lot of money and getting a secure income for a whole lot of years out ahead. And there's something good about providing for your family, and that's honorable. But on the back of that desire, all of a sudden I was in a place where it's just clearly not free. And it was just great finally to meet with Jesus and see that face to face for what it was, and realize that what he calls for, he provides for and he equips for. That this incessant worry and fear of providing was actually doing more damage to my prospects anyway, because I was harassing people to get work and causing headaches for myself that just evaporated just like that when I met with Jesus. Went from kind of checking emails all the time to just being like, oh, it's cool, I can just leave that. When I met with Jesus face to face. And that's the kind of freedom, I guess, that he holds out to us, the freedom to follow after him. So you know what? Not a complex message. Whether you've been a Christian or whether you're even you're thinking about it at the moment, like, who is this Jesus guy? Well, here's one thing. Jesus invites you to get face to face with him. And when you do, you find an invitation, not a list of obligations. And if you've been following him for 1 year, 5 years, 50 years, there's always a chance to get face to face with Jesus, with the needs that you have on your heart, to awaken again the desires, maybe the things that he's planted on you, or that just leave you frustrated and you've not found answers that can satisfy you, to get face-to-face with Jesus about them. You'll find an invitation, not a list of obligations. You'll find a greater measure of freedom. And that's why we love Jesus. That's why we want to share about Jesus, because look around Australian society and, you know, if you walk down the street, it'd be kind of like Jesus talking to the people of his day. He says, you know, in John 8, he said, you know, I've came that you may have free, that you may be free. And they said, well, we don't need freedom. We are free. The average Australian in the street would be like, what the heck are you talking about, man? And Jesus said something pretty simple. If you sin, you're a slave to sin. That's a practical experience, isn't it? Like, of perpetually doing things that you can't break out of. You find yourself locked into a pattern of that, where you got relationships and people that you're like, oh, well, life's fine, but I don't want to go to see that person, and I don't want to go to that place. I had a friend once, and I was walking down the street, and he's like, hey, we just need to walk across this side of the street now, and we walk across that side of the street. Oh. And then we got back to the other side of the street, and I said, oh, what was that about? He's like, oh, there's a girl that I really didn't want to see that was coming the other way. And it just struck me like a bomb, like, you're not free. Like, Jesus came to provide freedom in that too. It's an invitation, not a list of obligations. No matter where you're at, to get face-to-face with Jesus and find more freedom. So, hey, I'll finish up with that and just say a quick word of prayer. Jesus, I just want to thank you for that. Thank you that that is your character. Thank you that that is a word that we can bank on, because it is. It's part of your nature, and it's an invitation that you held out to us and you hold out to society at large, for all those who are willing to take it to get face-to-face with you. We want to give you thanks for that. And Holy Spirit, I just pray as we read and experience something of your life, as we're reading again the story of Jesus, that you shape us more and more to be like him, and to come to experience what he experienced. Amen.